This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello there. Welcome to Opinion Booth.
Thank you so much.
With myself, Sonia Booth, and that's my guest, Nom Zamo. Zaza.
Zamo.
Zamo.
Yes.
I like how you put a little bit of a twang to it.
Yes.
Zamo.
Zamo.
So welcome.
Thank you so much.
So this woman, I think once I read all her titles or the titles that she's juggling, you'll understand the title or the topic for today. Hashtag working mom.
Working mom.
I know a lot of your Instagram posts, mm-hmm. you use the hashtag working mom a lot.
Yes, especially when I'm posting my kids.
And there's a reason for that. And that's what the show is about. Obviously, we're going to be talking about you. We're getting to know you. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about all these titles.
Yeah.
As a singer, songwriter.
Yes.
An actress.
Yes.
And one of your other titles is makeup artist.
Yes.
How do you juggle all these hats or balls?
Sure, it's so hard, eh? But I think if you're just an artist, if you're born an artist, there's nothing you can't do, literally. It's just a matter of psyching yourself to say, aye, girl, you have to do this, eh? Because, I mean, as you know, that we work in an industry where really the income is not as consistent as someone who's working in the corporate sector or whatever, you know? So you just have to... Yeah, we gotta eat, man. You know? So I think as you step into this door unlocks other doors, you know, and you find that I'm so passionate about this now. Oh, okay, you know. But you try not to be kind of like a scatterbrain, but at the same time, because all these things are interconnected and within the same industry, it just works, you know. I try my best to make it work.
Exactly. Why limit yourself?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I think I've shared this on a show on previous interviews that a financial planner once said at a talk mm-hmm. that the most successful people mm-hmm. have 7 different income streams.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm on 4, so I'm short of 3 extra jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. So if anyone out there is looking to hire, I'm available because I need 3 extra jobs because I mm-hmm. plan on becoming a billionaire someday.
Yes.
Next lifetime.
Mm.
So your Twitter bio says vocalist. What is the difference between vocalist and singer/musician?
Well, vocalist is very broad in the sense that I also do voiceovers.
I see.
Yes. So sometimes you can be a singer, but you are unable to do other things with your vocal capabilities. So, yeah. No, it depends.
So it's technical.
It depends. Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
I think that if you're a singer, there's a lot that you can do because, I mean, your vocal cords can bend and, you know, do all these nice, sweet things.
Mm.
But some people never really get to explore that, you know.
I see. So it's got to do with the vocal range and ability as well, right?
Mm.
So you and I have something in common, right? So a couple of weeks ago, as I was scrolling through my Instagram page, just to see what was, you know, what people were getting up to,
what's,
you know,
going
my
on
friends
there.
And so Tlopsila posted this video of yours,
mm-hmm.
your new single,
yes.
that was, and I mean, I listened to it and I was mesmerized by your voice.
Thank you so much.
Listen to this voice note. It's for you.
Hi, Sonia and Nom Zamo. Thank you, Sonia, for giving me an opportunity to say a little something about Nom Zamo, also known as Zamo or Zaza. Well, I've known her for a couple of years now. Even though we are both from Swaziland, we met here in South Africa. What I'll say about her is not in any particular order. She's a beautiful girl, as you can see for yourself, and she works hard. She's very passionate. To the point that she will at times have more on her plate than she should. She's an artist at heart, and I say this because she's been in the music industry for a bit now. She's been wanting to have her own record deal, and she's in Joyous currently. Also, she's a makeup artist. I know she's had a stint on some TV shows as well as theater. So that should tell you that she is an artist. She works hard at her craft and always gives her best. And I can only wish her the best as she endeavors to make it in the music industry. I know that her passion will see her go all the way. And I can only say that I am proud of her, not only as a friend, but also as a fellow Swati. I know that other Swazis are also proud of her. I'm so happy to see Swazis like her and Sands making it, breaking boundaries out of Swaziland and making it in SA and hopefully beyond. I wish you the best, my friend. And enjoy the show. I'll be listening. Continue to make us proud. May you soar even to greater heights.
Aww. Oh, she's blushing. Look at her.
Thank you, Tony.
It doesn't help that you're wearing a peach lipstick and the makeup as well. No, Phila, you're ruining her makeup. I know she's listening.
She's ruining
right
my
now.
Makeup.
She's listening in right now.
I love you so much, Toby. Thank you.
I hope she feels better. She's been bedridden since Thursday.
Yeah, she's told me.
Yes. So, I mean, she reiterates your hardworking character and personality, hence the hashtag once again. Hashtag working mom. So tell me about growing up in Manzini, Swaziland. I know you are proudly Swati, and that you carry the flag with pride.
Yes, I'm annoyingly Swazi.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
And you don't need to be apologetic.
So I am not at all. So growing up in Manzini, I was just that little girl that was all over the place. You know, when there are functions and at home, like I was forever taking center stage, and nobody understood it. Like, I think even my family at some point, they thought that, hey, maybe she has some kind of disorder. Like, we need to check this. Like, what's going on with this kid? You know? But I think my mom understood it, you know, because as growing up, then I was told at a later stage that my dad's dad was also in the entertainment industry, kind of, sort of. So it kind of allowed them to connect the dots to say, oh, okay, I know she's an artist. So from as early as 6, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. Like, when they would ask me, what do you want to be? I actually remember this very clearly. My mom was walking into the kitchen. I was in the kitchen making a sandwich. And she said to me, Sissy, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be a singer like Brenda Fassie. You know? So everybody just knew from the onset. But it was kind of tough, because when I started out, the music industry in Swaziland was quite small, you know. But I was just that one girl who was saying, guys, we can sing in Siswati, because everybody was singing in isiZulu. I'm like, but that's not our language. Why is everyone singing in isiZulu, you know? So I released my first song, Gwendenjani, when I was 15. I was still in high school. So it was like, yay. You know, everybody was like, hey. But I always maintained that, guys, when I'm at work, when I'm an artist, I'm an artist. When I'm at school, I'm at school. So I don't want you guys to treat me like that. So it was very nice, you know. And Swaziland is, my people have been so supportive. I am who I am because of the people in my country.
No wonder they're so proud of you. I like that. I like that. You're like an asset, you know, back in Swaziland.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You post a lot of selfies on Instagram. And I have to be honest, right?
Yes.
Because this is the opinion booth, right? Mm-hmm. And this is Cliff Central, uncensored, unscripted, unradio, right? So at first, going through your Instagram, you know, and I thought, narcissist much. Until I saw your profound messages. I want to read out a few with the hopes that you would enlighten us.
Yes.
On what led to each one of them. Because fact is, you post a particular message or quote for a reason.
Yes.
And I love that. And I'm going to share a few.
Okay.
And that's what I love about you. So I quote you, don't find love, let love find you. That's why it is called falling in love, because you don't force yourself to fall, you just fall, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in love, or were you ever in love?
I think sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I just come up with all these things. I'm just thinking of a particular thing. Sometimes it's not necessarily that I'm going through that particular thing, but because I always feel like somebody's going to scroll down and somebody is
somebody who likes my selfies, but let them not just like what they see only, but let them learn something from it, you know? So when it came to that particular, I'm single, by the way.
Oh, okay. So yes. CVs are
accepted. No.
So no one can send uncles
no,
with
thanks.
Dowry and Lobola
no,
and cows, no. horses? No.
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
So yeah. And then I just thought about how sometimes women, how we compromise ourselves so much, you know, because there's this perception that you have to be in a relationship. It's like, if you're not in a relationship, you're not normal, you know. And then us as women end up loving men too much that you are just an option to him, but you make him a priority. You know, so when I go deep on love things, I always just share my opinion to say, guys, it's okay to be single. It's okay to let love find you. Because if you go out looking for love, because you've created this idea in your head that I want tall, dark, and handsome, you know, he must drive this car. I know that when we pray, we are specific, because it's important to be very specific when you pray and say, oh Lord, C63, yes, it's coming, you know. But at the same time, when you go out looking, seeking too hard, then you end up seeing something that is only interested in part-time, and then you think that it's full-time.
I love that. And talking about love, someone posted this on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
A man should love you more than you love him. Ooh. Otherwise, you will spend the rest of your life chasing after him. Do you agree?
My dad said that to me at some point in my life. Said, I think you have so much love to give, and take a second, breathe, think about what I'm going to tell you. Be with the man who wants to be with you more than the man that you want to be with.
Profound.
And he said to me, remember back in the day when there were still arranged marriages, you know, and whatever, the man was the one who would walk into the family and say, I want to marry your daughter. So even if she didn't love him, but 5 years down the line, if you were to touch your husband, she would say, hey, girl, that's my man, you know? Because as women, you fall in love with him because he's treating you like a queen. You are his princess. You are his everything. But now, roles are switched. Women love too much. He is my everything. People get even to the point of lobolaring themselves.
I've heard that.
And buying
their own engagement rings sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they end up suffering because this person, it didn't come from him. It came from you. You are the one who is supposed to be pursued, not the other way around.
I like that.
Not to say that you can't make moves. You can make moves, but make smart moves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I love that. And the fact that it came from your dad.
Yeah.
That's something to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Your next one.
Mm-hmm.
There are people less qualified than you doing the things you want to do simply because they decide to believe in themselves, period, end quote.
Mm.
Reminds me of a Chinese proverb. The mm-hmm. person who says it cannot be done should not interrupt the person doing it.
Exactly.
So we're on the right page, you and I.
Yeah.
Same page.
Yes, same page.
Okay. Your next one. Success isn't just about what you accomplish in your life. It's about what you inspire others to do. I love this.
Yeah.
Any particular reason that morning when you woke up? Or do you go about your life at times feeling that you've got a message in your head and you want to mm-hmm. impart it and mm-hmm. share it with your mm-hmm. followers on Instagram?
Yes. Because I think, like, especially with young people, like my peers, it's our definition of success is something else. Our definition of success is a car that's on an installment, bond, you know. And what about the smaller things? What about the people who wake up every day and check your page to say, she inspires me so much. I want to be like her. That 15-year-old that has a small Samsung that is saying, I want to be like her, you know. She's not flashing things that she doesn't have, because there's so much superficialness that is on social media, so much that people think that ish, manje, I have to get a sugar daddy to buy me a Gucci bag so that I post the Gucci bag that Bonang was carrying yesterday. But you don't know where Bonang got it from.
It could be
that someone bought it for her.
You're right.
You see someone wearing Vans and you say, I want those Vans. She's from a rich family. Are you from a rich family? Because people are so quick to forget their backgrounds. Think of home. What's going on at home? What's going on at home? Search yourself. Because you can't be looking all glamorous and Ekaya, your granny's house is almost halfway, you know?
Dilapidated.
You know?
Falling apart.
Exactly.
Or madhouse.
Yeah.
Sure. Your next one, social media. I love that you're on trend with the issues that I'm wanting to raise because these are your posts. And I'm sharing them for a reason because I'm wanting to get to know you through your social media interaction. Because we all know that's the world we live in right now. And as you said, you want to inspire the 15-year-olds, the young ladies out there, of the fact that there's a different way of living and you don't have to succumb to peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
So your next one, social media has created jealous behavior over illusions. Some of you are envious of things, relationships, and lifestyles that don't even exist.
Yeah.
And in my dear's voice, I'm going to say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm going to make an example. The outfit that I'm wearing today is from a stylist. Okay? It's from a stylist. Because
it's a beautiful outfit.
Thank you.
they'll see your picture once we post.
Style, yes. So anyway, it's from a stylist. So my stylist, Jewel, she's originated from Swaziland. So we're working together to say, we need to, when you go for interviews, when you go for performances, you need to look the part. But someone else is going to see that and think that, oh, girl. You know, oh girl, she doesn't have struggles. Everybody has their struggles. You know, we all have our struggles. But now, when you see someone in a picture, like I even got someone saying to me once, yo, Wena, you look so serious. I'm like, me? The craziest person ever, you know? Because when somebody sees a picture, they're already saying, oh, she must be this, she must be that, you know, she must be that. Assumption will get you into trouble because you are assuming that this hair that she's wearing, she bought herself, and you are going to compromise yourself and stay in some man's house who is not treating you right because you want expensive hair. When she has a hair sponsor, I have a hair sponsor. When if I change my hair 3 times a week, it's because I've established relationships with certain people who have introduced me to certain people. All these thoughts are connected. But you're going to sit there and say, it's fine, Muzi must abuse me, but just so that I look good. That is some serious compromise. And further down, as the years go by and your beauty fades and all these material things wear out, you'll have a problem.
Keeping up appearances.
Yeah.
As I say, keeping up with the Mazepis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And peer pressure. Mm. You cannot succumb to peer pressure. If you're under 21, it's no longer peer pressure. It's foolishness. Let's move on. Back to you and your music. You label your sound as Swati Soul.
See, Swati Soul.
But you also dabble in Afro jazz, pop, and gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Which would you choose if you were forced to?
Hey guys, this is what this soul. Hey, this is what this soul. Really, it falls on the popish R&B shit, the soulful sound. You know, I always say, I mean, as I am being the girl who is able to do this and this and that and this and that, I never even, when it comes to my music, I don't want to do the same thing and bottle myself. Although obviously there must be that one signature sound, but like if I were to be given an opportunity to feature in a rap track, to do a hook, yes, I would, you know, because it's very important for you to be versatile and say, I can try this, you know. But yes, so this what it so is what it is, and I choose to keep it that way because then I'm able to sneak in other elements here and there.
I love that you embrace your mother tongue in your songs.
Yeah, thank
Was
you.
That a deliberate attempt to differentiate yourself because the market or industry that you're in is heavily saturated?
It's very saturated. But I think I just wanted to be myself. I just wanted to be myself. This crazy Swazi girl. You know? That is talking about being heartbroken. That is talking about this and that. I share my life experiences. I share things that I dream about, my aspirations in my music. So, also, I think that people... I don't know, or is it me that most of the time when people hear me speaking to Swati, they get so excited. Like,
Swati, oh my God, is sexy. Like cute.
But most people say it's baby talk. I'm like, but guys, this is my language. It's not baby talk. Can you stop, you know? But I just wanted to embrace it and just run with it, be myself, you know, and not try to be somebody or something that I'm not.
You know, what I also love about you is that you seem to fully understand the importance of personal branding. I mean, just looking at your appearance.
Thank you.
Keep doing that, because a lot of people underestimate that, especially in South Africa, in the entertainment industry, people don't take their personal brands seriously. So you recorded a song with Joyous Celebration in Texas.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Yes.
Tell me about that whole experience.
First, it was my first time going overseas. Yay. So, it was cold though. It was very cold, but it was like a lifetime opportunity for me, and I just grabbed it with both hands. I was very excited, and the people there were so warm. I met so many Swazi people that stay in America. It was like crazy. So when I walked in, and I saw Swazi flags in the air, it was such an emotional moment for me, because I was like, there are people from home here. Really? You know, it was like a shock, but it was so beautiful. You know, I'm even tearing talking about it, because it's an unforgettable moment for me.
I can imagine. It was a big moment.
It was crazy.
Not many people can say, I mean, first of all, to be a part of Joyous Celebration, I mean, they have done exceptionally well.
Exceptionally well.
So one of the other things that you do as an actress is that you also did theater. You had a lead role in a musical produced by the legend Mbongeni Ngema.
Yes. Even though that we never really got to tour with that musical, number 43, but it was quite the experience, because I mean, Mbongeni Ngema was the first person who ever introduced me to acting. Because when I went to the auditions, I got a call from a lady friend who was a Swati, and she said to me, Sisi, there are auditions. And I'm like, auditions for what? He's like, there's a musical that's coming up. That was at the theater club in Babani. So she's like, no, just come and try out, you know. So I went in there, and then they said, you have to do a mini monologue and try something out. So I tried, and he didn't like my acting. But then he said, you know what? There's something there. There is something there. So I was like, okay, if you see it, I'm going to see it in the near future, you know. So then we went to Durban for workshops and this and that. It was so interesting. Such that last year, I was a part of a musical called Faith Takes Time, and I played the character of Faith, who was a rebellious young lady drunk from Alex, and she was just although she spoke Zulu, but you know, I did my best to bring that character out, so it was very interesting. But it was such a blessing. Mbongeni Ngema has been a blessing in my life, because I wouldn't have been able to tap into, you know, that side of my artistry.
I mean, it's a feather cap up your sleeve, because I mean, Mbongeni Ngema is known as somebody who can identify talent and unearth it as well. Like you said, in your case, you did not know about the talent that you had, but he knew about the immense talent that you had. I mean, that's why he's respected in the industry.
Yeah.
And to have been a part of a musical that he produced, it's like, okay, there's something there. You know, there's something to work on there. There's definitely talent there.
Yeah.
So now, your single titled Tinyembeti, which means tears in Siswati, it is rather sad. What prompted that?
Well, actually, what happened was, when I met the director of KM Music, I met him in a studio. So in the studio where we were meeting, Preston, who is former Coca-Cola pop stars, I'm sure you know him, Press Music, was doing that song. He was doing that song. Actually, the song was meant to be someone else's song. Uh-huh. But anyway.
Okay, because I thought you had written it.
I co-wrote it. I co-wrote it. Some of the elements in the song we co-wrote together with Afro Attraction.
Yes.
So what happened was then I walked into the studio. I'm hearing the song. I'm like, guys, do you know the song would sound nice in Siswati? So here I am trying to convince them that, guys, can you try the song in Siswati? They're like, aye, you know, they just dismissed me like, aye, stop it, you know, you like things. But anyway, less than 5 days later, I was in studio doing the song with Afro Attraction and Press Music. And I think more than anything, I wanted to do that song because I was going through a similar thing, you know, in terms of the heartbreak, the heartache, you know, the pain. And but at the same time, I was in the process of healing. So when you start healing, that's the only time you're able to talk about something. When you're going through it, it's very hard for you to express what you're feeling. So this song is kind of like a way that I was able to... This song has healed me. It has healed me, you know, in a way that I could never even imagine. Because when I sing the song, when I perform the song, I'm singing the song in a celebratory mood, because I'm actually celebrating that you're gone. You're actually gone. So all these tears are just tears of joy. Now they should be tears of joy because you're no longer in my life. I sang a song about you. You know, wow. You inspired me to actually want to take this song and make it my own.
I like that. I mean, it reminds me of your Adele, because Adele, whenever she's had a heartbreak,
yes, exactly,
she writes about it. And what's her name again? Taylor Swift,
yes,
has written a mm-hmm. song about all of her ex-boyfriends.
Adele actually said to her ex-boyfriend, "Thank you for making me a millionaire. Thank you for making me get all this money because you broke my heart."
Yeah, and you gave me material.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. So on that note,
mm-hmm.
pun intended, can you please give us a chorus?
Hey.
On any song that you want, because I'm going to be playing out with Tinyembeti at the end. Yes. So you can choose any of your songs and then just give us a smallanyana taste.
Taste. Mm. Okay. There's another song that I just did that's going to be on my album.
Lovely.
It's called Senkulilini. Baseka kami he seba figile ngicela babu bafulele nguma senkulile baseka kami seba figile ngicela babu bafulele nguma senkulile Bengililinzele lolu sugu ngicela babu bafulele nguma senkulile. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I guess a little something like that.
Oh, did you feel those goosebumps, Vanessa? You've got an incredible voice.
Thank you. So I don't only write about heartbreak.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
So still to be released?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I can't wait.
Yes, I'll let you guys know. I'll let people should be on the lookout. And I'm very excited. You know, God has been so good. He sent me KM Music, my new family. They've literally taken me under their wing. And, yo, in a space of 2 months, my life is not the same.
Oh, wow.
I
love that.
I am truly grateful.
Beautiful space to be in, right? Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, I don't mean to gloomy things, if there's ever such a word. You know, English, no? Mm-hmm. It's difficult sometimes. So 25th November.
Yes.
Was the start of 16 days of activism against gender-based violence,
mm-hmm.
Which is an international campaign to challenge violence against women and girls, right?
Yeah.
You suffered physical abuse mm-hmm. at the hands of your ex-partner.
Yeah.
How did you free yourself from those shackles?
Yeah, it was hard, eh? I can't say it was easy, because when you're in that situation, it seems normal. It seems normal to the point that when you've actually detached yourself, you feel like, hey man, something's not right. Because you think that it's normal while you're in it. And also there's that element of emotional blackmail. I'm sorry, but you know, but even you're the one who causes me to do all these things. Because those are the kind of things that you hear, you know. But you go away a lot with your friends and I miss you. And then I get angry. And then, you know. And it's all lies. It's all just lies. It's all just a cover up. Because my last straw was when I actually realized the problem is not with me. The problem is with him. He's the one with the problem. He's the one with the complex. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. I mean, how does somebody beat you up and then when you ask them why, they say because you're beautiful.
Wow.
What does being beautiful have to do with you bashing me and hitting my head on the wall, you know? I'm actually, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm always like, yeah, I'm actually glad I didn't even get like scars on my face. And my body, I did a bit, but not on my face, you know?
And I mean, it's strange that guys have that kind of mentality, twisted mentality that, and also we grew up, I mean, I grew up in the townships mm-hmm. in Pimville, in Soweto. Mm-hmm. The notion was that if a guy loved you,
he
shows his way, his love,
by beating
or the
you up.
Depth of his love by beating you up. If he doesn't beat you up, he doesn't love you. And then the profound question is that, how do I love somebody that I fear? If you lay your hand on me, and then at the end of the night, we're lying in bed, kissing goodnight, and then you claim to love me, and yet hours prior to that, you had been physical with me. So how does love, the question I've always wanted to ask these monsters is that, how is there a correlation between love when there is somebody who is fearful of you because they don't know your next move, right? They could be lying in bed and then thinking, perhaps he's going to strangle me in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you freed yourself from that.
I freed myself
from that. And I respect you for that, because it couldn't have been easy.
I realized that actually, you're the chicken. You can't face men who are as tough as you are, but you're looking for something that you can just, you know, that will make you feel like you're powerful. It will make you feel like you have that power. You're a man. But if I were to bring another man to, say, face him, you wouldn't.
And we all know that monsters who act in that manner have issues from childhood
mm-hmm.
that they themselves haven't dealt with.
But I think it's also very important to know that, like you're saying, that there's a source. There's always a source. When you go back and you trace all these things, you find out that he might have been molested, or he grew up in an environment where he was seeing the parents doing the same thing. You know, it's a lot of things. But I think if you meet someone who has that kind of, I kind of feel like most young women like projects. You know, a man that's a project.
I'll fix him up.
You know, I'm going to fix him up. You know, he's going to change. Things are going to change. You can't change someone. Found him with 32 teeth. As old as he is, he will make his own choices. You can take him to church tomorrow. He's going to go back to wherever he wants to be.
Sure.
Because there are people who have a teachable spirit and other people just don't. You know? So you can't take that risk. Because what would have happened if on that one particular day that he strangled me and I died?
And the only way to leave your house is in a corpse.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
As a corpse, in a
coffin. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Okay. Can we move on?
Yes.
Can we lighten things up a bit?
No, we need to talk about these things.
We did, but now it's getting back, you know, to you, but the positive side, mm-hmm. right? It's going to get interesting. Are you ready?
I am ready.
So as a maiden, did you go to the reed dance? And would you send your daughters? Because I know you have two daughters.
Yes. I did go actually from the age of 14 to 16, and it was very interesting. I think a lot of people have this idea that if you go to the Reed Dodge, you want to be picked by the king, you want to marry the king, which is not true. I don't think I would be as annoyingly Swazi if I didn't attend the Reed Dance and actually get the chance and the opportunity to embrace my culture, love my culture, fall in love with the color, the dance, the music, you know, and the actual purpose of bringing these young women together to say, embrace your youth, be young, you know, take good care of yourself. You know?
Were you forced, by the way?
No, you were not forced. No.
Persuaded? You personally?
No, I was not forced. It was a choice. I wanted to do it.
Okay. And would you send your daughters?
I would send my daughters.
Okay.
And I think even now, the schools that they're in, they are taught, you know, the culture and this and this. So when I hear them singing traditional songs, it's like, oh, you know that song, girl, come on, you know? Like, oh, that's sweet, you know? So it's something that I would definitely want them to do, you know? But with the right mindset, not to say I'm going there because I want to be chosen by the king, or I'm listening to what other people are saying, because people who are from Swaziland know why they send their kids to the Reed Dance.
Okay, so how old are your daughters now?
Gabrielle is turning 10 on the 5th, actually, the 5th of December.
Okay.
And then Amuyelegile is 7. She turns 7 in August.
What happens if they get picked by the king?
I think those things used to happen back in the day.
No, what are you going to do if the king picks one of your daughters? Bearing in mind your daughters are 10 and 7 now. So in about 7 years, your 10-year-old is going to be, you're going to allow her to go to the Reed Dance. So what are you going to do as a mother in 7 years' time when your daughter attends the Reed Dance and she gets chosen by the king? Are you going to be accepting of that?
I think those are the kind of fears that even my mother had, you know. But I am a sole believer in that what is meant to be shall be.
Okay, so I think, you know? I think your answer is you'll allow
what, your daughter. What is meant to, destiny is destiny.
Okay.
You can go to a certain place. If you're not meant to be there, it will not be aligned.
Okay, so you won't have a problem with your 17-year-old in 7 years' time being chosen as wife.
Okay, now you are.
Am I putting you in a corner? Am I putting you in a corner?
Oh, Lord.
She's turning orange.
Gosh. Can I not think about it? She's only 10.
How old is your king, by the way? I'm just trying to do the maths here. How old is your king right now? How old is he?
How old is our king?
Yeah.
I think he's... he's almost 50.
Okay, so he's 50, your daughter's 10.
Yes.
And you're going to send your daughter in 7 years' time to the Reed Dance?
No, but...
the king, but in 7 years' time...
I would object and say, but you're my uncle, you can't.
The king is going to be 57 in 7 years' time, and your daughter is going to be 17, so...
No, but why are you doing this to me, Sonia? Let's discuss. Why are you doing this to me?
I'm just giving you something to think about. Okay, let's move on. So your opinion, now that we're still talking about your king, by the way.
Hey.
So your opinion on King Swati,
yes,
his 14 wives, and public opinions that royal families are unnecessary and are a waste of taxpayers' monies.
Can I not go there?
Fair enough.
I'm not that kind of artist.
Fair enough.
Can I keep those to
Fair
myself?
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's,
because
that,
I could be biased because I'm a Dlamini. So,
I see.
Yes.
Okay, so it makes sense. No, I'll allow you because I love you. And you're gorgeous.
Yeah, and I love you too.
Let's move on. Complete these sentences. What I know for sure is...
everything happens for a reason.
My soul won't rest until...
I fulfill my purpose.
A true measure of my success is defined by...
Please repeat that again.
Complete the sentence. A true measure of my success is defined by?
Defined by. That's a tricky one. It's very tricky.
Okay. You'll send me the answer later on. Okay.
Yeah.
I strive for?
Success.
I would be honored to collaborate with?
Kaifa Semenya.
Music is?
Music is healing.
I look at my daughters and think to myself,
I couldn't have it any other way.
What would you like written on your tombstone?
She was love.
I love that. What advice do you give to your daughters on life, love, and career?
It's funny that you say that, because I actually, about a month ago, I bought them diaries. I bought them diaries, and inside I wrote, love, live, focus, humility, understanding, and respect.
I love that.
I will let them translate it in their own way. But these are the things that I'm giving to them to say, do it.
Okay.
Mm.
What will you be doing this festive season?
I'll be working.
So if your fans want to catch your performances, where can they find you?
Unfortunately, this festive season, I'm not really doing much of myself, but obviously I'm doing Joy Celebration. So we have a show that's happening at the Cradle of Humankind on the 9th of December. We're doing Mahikeng on the 7th of December. We're doing Durban on the 23rd of December. And and then the rest, it's my other jobs, the voiceovers, the weddings, and
Okay, and what are you doing next year? Your plans, what can we look forward to as far as brand Zamo is concerned?
So next year, obviously the focal point is going to be more the music. And with the single out, the video is coming soon. And next year we're going to start radio tours in preparation to release the album, which will be in the first quarter of the year. And I'm very excited. I am so excited. It's not even funny. I've waited for almost, 9 years for this? And, God has just been so good. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. It's been a long time coming. Because it happened that I got myself into a very bad, shady recording deal. So that time. And I'm willing to start over. This is a new beginning for me. It's rebranding, reshaping, and I am very excited.
La Dlamini, it's been a great pleasure having you here. That's what Philo Swati would call you. La Dlamini.
La Dlamini. And Zulu say Ma
Dlamini. Ma Dlamini. I don't want to call you Ma Dlamini, because then it would be like adding 20 years to your age.
I know, right?
You're like a Nando's spring chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently there's a message. Is there a message? For who? For Zamo. Do you want to read it out? Please do. I hope it's not going to be anyone asking you out for a date, because they heard that you're single. Or marriage.
And you had to marriage proposal.
Let's hear it out.
Okay, it's from Pumikama. She says, "Hey, big sis, Nomzamo is the hardest working mom I know. I remember those jam sessions you used to have with our moms on the veranda. Lol, you're making us so proud, girl. I'm glad I witnessed this from the beginning."
Oh, you're missing her makeup, her mascara. Oh, wow. How does that make you feel?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, shame, man. She's Terry. Sorry.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, now you're going to make me cry. Stop it.
Pumi's mom was my mom's best friend. So, unfortunately, I lost my mom in 2014.
Oh, no.
And, so she was there in the beginning, but she's not here now. But I know that, obviously, she's watching over. And Pumi, I'm going to kill you for
Jeez.
This.
Wow, there's been a lot of tears in Cliff Central today. Yeah. My word. But, I mean, it's a beautiful...
But it's tears of joy.
Tears of joy. Because, I mean, you're in a good space now.
I am.
And I love that. You've got so much grace about you.
Thank you.
And, coming from one woman to another, we need to acknowledge women such as yourself. And, You are an inspiration. Thank you. I know you will continue to inspire not only your fellow Swati fellows.
Yes.
But a lot of women out there. I like your spirit. And I love your humility. And, I mean, we know you're beautiful, but the last hour that I spent with you, I got to know the real Zamo, you know, beyond the Instagram, you know, because I know you don't tweet a lot.
I don't. I'm so terrible.
But, I mean, you're an amazing person. And keep working hard for your daughters. And I hope they appreciate and acknowledge.
They do.
The way you're hustling.
They do.
Because you are a hustler.
They tell me all the time.
You are hardworking. Keep it up.
I do my best. Thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you so much for coming to Opinion Booth.
Oh, and thank you for making me cry. Should I say thank you?
No, they've messed your makeup. Yeah, blame them, not me.
It's okay. I have a powder brush. We'll fix it.
My humble opinion, after all, this is the Opinion Booth. Women such as Zamo give true meaning to the words hustler and working mom. She fully understands the dangers of falling into a comfort zone, and we can all take a leaf from that. In the words of the late Princess Diana, I quote, "People think at the end of the day that a man is the only answer to fulfillment. Actually, a job is better for me." End quote. Aspire to inspire before you expire. We're going to end off with your song, Dinyembeti. I'm out.
Thank you so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.